This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
And the Astros are down to their final strike. Leclerc ready now, 1-2 pitch, ground ball, second base, Simeon's got it. On to first to Nate Lowe, and hello World Series. The Rangers have won their third American League pennant. For the first time since 2011, the Rangers are going to the World Series after having six consecutive losing seasons.
Oh, man. Nadell with the call last year. But, you know, listen to the ALCS call. It's like a letdown compared to the World Series.
Been here before, baby.
Been here before, man. You know, won a couple of those. But it was still great to see because it was unexpected at the start of the year for many. But it is opening day. It's great to see the people on on MLB Network, all giddy. Everybody's all happy and giddy, and they're all just, you know, it's an entire new season.
I know we talked about it at the time, and it was like a lot was made of, like, it was like, whoa, what a crazy run here by the Rangers. But just the fact that that team did what they did on the road in the postseason is still the most incredible
thing. They still haven't lost a road game in the playoffs, have they, since the start of last year?
No, they have not.
No, they didn't lose any in the offseason.
Look, that's pretty – I think that's pretty telling about just how good they are on the road.
I mean, they've continued this road streak even though the season's over.
But, man, it's just last year, that whole run, which was great and it was magical and everything else, but, like, the thing that just blows me away about it still is that fact. The fact that they did it against – I mean, they won every road game against some really, really good teams at home, some really good, like, baseball teams in general. I mean, Baltimore was 49-32 at home. Tampa was 53-28 at home. Houston had struggled last year. They were under 500. But you're talking about just an incredible – the Diamondbacks, they had a winning record at home. They had barely had a winning record on the season, but they had a winning record at home. And so they were just – that, to me, is still the thing I can't get over. That to me, will be the greatest – accomplishment when we look back on that team in 20 years. Is just that's a run we'll never see again.
It was so magical. And then the fact they were able to polish it up and not like have a letdown in the World Series.
An under 500 team on the road.
Went
11-0 in the postseason.
And then, by the way, you'll never break that record. And then the other amazing thing is that, like, you know, even in the World Series, like, they could have lost game one very easily.
Yeah.
And then Seager hits the two-run homer to tie it. They lose game two, going to Arizona. And it's like, all right, well, you know, Arizona's pitching's kind of set up now. But then again, the Rangers have got their pitching in a good spot, too. It was like, all right, what could happen here? Are they just, I mean, just mollywopped them.
They did.
They really, really did.
Absolutely beat them down. And it all starts again.
Today,
6 p.m. pregame show with Jared Sandler. 6:39, I think, is the official first pitch time tonight against the Cubs. Justin Steele and Nathan Eovaldi.
I thought it was 6:35. Maybe it is 39. You may be confusing it with the college basketball because they start at 6:39.
But I don't think so. But either way. Around 6:35. And then we've got G-Bag Nation is out at the Globe from 2 to 6 p.m. And parking lots open at 2 p.m. So go out there, hang out with G-Bag. Gates open at 3:30.
I already got texts from the great Dave Swavey of Guns N' Hoses saying he is already heading down there with his brisket in tow, his smoker. I mean, he's going to have you tailgating all day. It's a great day. I let you, for opening day, if you've never been to an opening day, it's a treat. This one, I can only imagine how special it's going to be. And you want to get there early anyway because you get to see all the pregame festivities. So I went and looked at the schedule. Okay, I'm a travel logistics nerd. I'm obsessed with times and dates and schedules.
Oh yeah, to a fault. I'd say, because that's what burned you on a couple of our bets when I first joined the show, because you're like, well, travel. The Dolphins or the 49ers or this travel here and there, and you lean too much into it.
Actually,
I think you claimed you didn't lean enough into it. You're like, I should have known. Dolphins should have lost to Purdy because they were traveling.
So let's look at the Rangers' schedule, a little deep dive here. They have two 10-game road trips by May 12th. They complete two by May 12th, I should say. That's a lot. Yeah. That is a lot of road games. Long road trips. Two 10-game road trips by May 12th.
Are they pretty regionalized? Like, is it a case of where they're all generally in the same part of the country, or is there some crisscrossing?
There you go. Friday, April 12th, they go from, they're in Oakland on Tuesday. I'm sorry, they're home to Oakland. They go to Houston, then Detroit, then Atlanta. Not the worst. But, I mean, you're talking about two-hour flights either way. All right. And then from Atlanta, they're back home. Their next 10-game road trip is literally 10 days later. And they go from home to Kansas City to Oakland to Colorado. And then back home. So, they have two 10-game road trips that wrap up by May 12th. And they're within a 25 day stretch ish. It's pretty crazy.
That's significant.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
They had their first 10-game road trip came May 5th last year, and then they completed a second one to close May.
Yeah. So it's from April 12th to May 12th. They'll play 20 road games and 9 home games.
Yeah,
a lot. It's a lot.
There, look.
It's a bit of a bad break for them, but that means they're going to get something on the reverse. Later on in the season.
Right.
Where it may matter a little bit more. They do get a big break with the weather. They don't play a cold weather game in the elements until April 15th in Detroit. So what they do is they start, obviously, here, then they go to Tampa, temperature-controlled, back here for four with Houston. And then they go to Oakland. Sorry, then they're home to Oakland, and then on the road again to Houston. So that's all temperature-controlled games for the first, almost month of the season. I would say maybe 3 weeks of the season.
You know, I'm looking at this. Let me see here. They take two 10-game road trips first month of the season, right?
Yeah, first month and a half.
They don't get a 10-game homestand until August 30th, and they have one.
I don't care for that.
I don't care for that either. And then they even still with all that, they closed the season with six on the road.
Man.
And it feels like they got the screws put to them a little bit.
Is John Smoltz running things over there?
It feels like it, doesn't it? This is outrageous.
Now, it could be chilly in those three Detroit games. Those are also all noon starts. I'm sorry, three of the four are noon starts, so hopefully the sun's out. That's good. When is their World Series rematch? Well, they host Arizona for a two-game set at the end of May.
Okay.
All right, and they'll go out there later on in the year.
Yeah, they go out there. That's one of their last road trips of the season is Arizona.
One part of the schedule I've got a huge problem with. They do not play on Memorial Day.
Why is that a problem?
It's a holiday. Every team should play Memorial Day, 4th of July, and Labor Day. Those are weekday holidays. The middle of your season. Everyone's off. You should have sellouts. It's a holiday. It's a tradition. Major League Baseball on Memorial Day, on 4th of July, on Labor Day is a tradition. I think it's a massive miss by Major League Baseball that every team does not play on those holidays. They absolutely should. They wear special hats for these games. It's a big miss. They're home for 4th of July against San Diego. All right. That's a big, big, that's a big series against a team that's got a lot of stars. Labor Day, they're home to the New York Yankees. Another big one. A lot of stars. Those are going to be mega crowds. I hate that they play Houston just one time after the All-Star break.
Why? They're not going to be relevant. Houston's going to be buried,
there
bro.
There you go. There you go.
Look, MLB sees what we see coming, and they're saying, look, we're not going to schedule a meaningless game.
Yep. I think it's a miss, though, by the sport that you get two teams in the same division not playing after the first week of August. I think it's a travesty. You should be playing nothing but your division down the stretch. The Rangers at the end of the year, let's see who they have at the end of the year. They finished the season with at Seattle, home to Toronto, home to Seattle, at Oakland, at the Angels. So their end of season schedule, they're going to have four against the Angels, two against Arizona. This is all in September. They'll start the September with the Yankees, then the Angels, then Arizona on the road, Seattle on the road, Toronto, Seattle, Oakland, and the Angels on the road. So that's not the hardest thing because you got Angels a bunch of times in there and Oakland. But, you know, Toronto and Seattle, with 10 games there, should be formidable. And Arizona and the Yankees as well, they all should be good. So it's about a 50-50 September. I think it's a travesty, though, that you don't play Houston, your chief rival, in the final month and a half of the season, almost 2 months of the season.
Yeah, and they play, out of their last 28 games, only six of them are going to be played outdoors.
Okay.
Wow. It's the close against Oakland and the Angels because their road trip there with Arizona and Seattle, those can be, I mean, if it's open, it's you know, favorable to it.
Other than that, I think it's a pretty favorable schedule. They don't have any cross-country flights. Like, they don't go from Seattle to Boston on any road trip. And they don't have, like, those day game after night game road trips. So they don't have, like, a night game, and then they got to travel cross-country and play the next day. You know, they have to go to the West Coast, but we're already halfway there. I think it's a pretty favorable – the schedule makers just had some misses. Memorial Day is a miss, and not having the Astros on your schedule after the first week of August is a miss. Other than that, I think it's a pretty good schedule.
Boy, these two road trips that you're talking about.
The 10-game road trips early on are difficult.
Yeah, and you're talking about that first 10-game road trip. That's a little bit of a zigzag because you're going Houston, Detroit, Atlanta, and then back home. And then on that second one, you're going Kansas City, Oakland, Colorado, and then back to Texas without a day off.
Yeah. Now, Colorado to Texas is not easy. It's an hour and a half.
No, but it just in general, you're crossing a little bit. And when you get done with that Colorado series, you are coming off altitude, though. You're coming off altitude with no rest. You're playing the very next day.
Better hydrate, baby.
Yeah, you're playing the very next day. Now, it's a day game to end the Colorado trip, and then you're playing a night game when you come back around.
But, you know, I do need Blue Chew after altitude or in altitude. I do. I'm just saying there. I'm just saying it. Things don't work on me after I'm in altitude. Real quick on Shohei.
Los Angeles Times is, and that's the local paper there, as local as
it
can
be.
That's the local paper there. They are casting a lot of, they're leading breadcrumbs for you to cast doubt on Shohei Ohtani. They wrote a really long piece about, the title of it was how the saga of Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter unfolded and why it's not over. And one of the things they talk about here, they say, if the allegation against Ipe Mizuhara is true, and if Ohtani and his money were protected by the usual roster of business managers and financial institutions, the translator would have had to have evaded all the safeguards typically in place to shield a wealthy celebrity from thievery, fraud, and other forms of financial exploitation, experts have told the Times. Those lines of defense would include human and digital protocols for verifying the legitimacy of large withdrawals of money from a bank, in addition to assurances that financial professionals who handle expenses, investments, and taxes are performing regular reviews of significant transactions. They say multiple sources who requested anonymity to share sensitive information confirmed to the Times that the alleged payments under investigation were made via wire transfers, and such transfers should involve a multi-step verification process and leave a clear electronic trail, according to experts. So this is... The LA Times is setting this up for, if this story is true, all these steps that are in place, it's going to be really easy to tell how much Shohei was actually involved and knowledgeable of what was being approved or not.
Yeah, like if he doesn't get arrested.
Yeah. By the way, they say, as of this writing, Mizuhara's whereabouts could not be determined, did not respond to multiple requests from the Times for comment, and it is not known whether he has an attorney.
Okay, so they were in Korea when this whole thing broke, when he was fired. He may be in Japan.
He's gone full Diddy. He hopped on the jet. He left
the country. Who knows where he is?
Yeah, exactly.
Could be anywhere. So. I'd be at a country of no extradition. That's where I would be. I'd be pocketing that money of Shohei, the payoff money I got, and that's where I would be. We got Jory coming up next.
Jory Epstein from Yahoo Sports, one of the most plugged-in individuals and one of the best people to talk to about all the drama surrounding the Cowboys. She'll join us next year on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Good morning, DFW. It is Sean and RJ here on 105 through the Fan on Rangers opening day. It's a big day. Derek Holland is already in studio getting ready for the KNC masterpiece that he'll be a part of all day. All the stories. Got March Madness returning today. And of course, we still have. I mean, it wouldn't be the offseason without Cowboys drama. And for that, we bring in Jory Epstein from Yahoo Sports.
Yes, one of the very best. We're very proud that she came off the Cowboys beat. And now she's big time. She's over there in Yahoo. She's running around like the Jets facility. She can be seen anywhere and everywhere where the big story is. But we've got her on specifically today to talk Dallas Cowboys. You can follow her on Twitter at Jory Epstein. How's it going, Jory?
Everything's going well. How about you, Bobby? RJ, happy to be on, and I'm just proud to know you guys, you know?
I'm glad you're proud to know us. We're proud to know you. So before we get into Cowboys, where are you finding yourself most frequently these days? Is it chasing the Aaron Rodgers beat? Is it still Cowboys mainly? Where are they having you focus most often?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, right now I feel like it's almost like league-wise rather than team-specific, even though I am based in New York and that's where I'm calling in from right now. So, like, I'm working on a story about the evolution of quarterback evaluations. I did a lot of hip drop tackle stuff this week. I've got some stuff on, like, what's the role of the 40-yard dash right now and how do we assess speed. So I love the offseason because you really get a big deep on stuff.
All right, so what has been the story of the offseason that you think has been – like overhyped the most, if there is one?
That's a good question. I mean, I feel like the answer is almost the same every year, which is just these quarterbacks. I mean, like, you talk to people and it's funny, like, think of all these names, and yeah, there are some fantastic names at quarterback this year. I know that Giants team owner John Mara was just saying this year he's being told by his guys, like, one of the best classes in years. But in 3-5 years, like, what are we going to think of those quarterbacks then? So I feel like every year we get really excited. Obviously, there's McCarthy moving up the board. I mean, all of these things. But realistically, like, a lot of these guys aren't going to pan out. And I hope for all of them that they do, but they statistically won't.
So, Jory, we saw there was, of course, the Ian Rappaport report this week that the Cowboys and Dak Prescott are just going to kind of, you know, take it steady as she goes, let things ride out on his contract, at least for now, That maybe they revisit something during the season or before free agency next year. But one of the things Ian said was he said this basically sets it up for Dak Prescott to test free agency waters in 2025. What's your sense of where things are at for Dak right now, where things are at for the Cowboys and his future here? Is it as, you know, kind of on the bubble as some of the discussion seems to paint it over the last couple of days?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think to me, the fact that they don't have a deal right now on what is today, March 28th, I don't know what day of the week it is. I never do, so don't ask me.
28th, yes.
But yes. So on March 28th, you don't really need a deal in terms of like keeping him from hitting free agency, keeping him from hitting it in a year when he has a no tag, no trade clause on him. That said, I think it more telling to me is the Cowboys' history of deal making and, well, what did they do after his rookie deal expired and he massively outperformed it? Well, what did they do after the first franchise tag? Like, I think we have this history of, like, they don't seem to be in a rush to do his deal or any deal. And it's also interesting. I mean, you have to look at, like, the two main reasons you want to deal with Dak now are, one, obviously, like, I think he's a top five, top seven quarterback in the league. And so it's really hard to find those guys. And if you lose them, you're probably not replacing them with the next guy automatically. Like, you're taking a big gamble. But the other reason you want to get his cap hit off the books now is so that you can find someone else and go get guys and use that money. And they're not using that money for anything. So now that the bulk of free agency has passed, and even with the CD and Micah deals, like, they both have years left on their contracts, you don't really have that same impetus. And I don't know, like, are Jerry and Steven thinking, well, right now Dak has so much leverage because of that? I think it's crazy because I think that if you lose him, you're not going to replace him with something better. But I think those are some of the dynamics that are probably at play.
But you agree with, like, with Bobby's sentiment that if this thing does get to free agency, the chances of him returning are what?
That's a good question. I mean, they're definitely lower than right now because you can have 100% if you get the deal done this year. I think that it'll also depend. Like, to me, the reason it's hard to put a percentage number, and I know it's not great radio, is because you just kind of like, what's happening this year? What's happening with Mike McCarthy? What's happening in the playoffs? What's happening with the pieces around him? Like, is the offensive line this year going to give Dak no chance to succeed, and someone else with a great offensive line is going to start protecting him? I mean, I've heard from a lot of agents of other quarterbacks where it's like, hey, or no, who is it? I was hearing from someone who was like, my older guy wanted to play on grass, not turf, as it was hard on his body. And you have other guys like, my older quarterback wants to play with the offensive line because you can stay healthy and also have that. You got a family, all of that. So I think if there's just so many, like, I need to see how this year goes before I really understand whether Dak would want to come back.
We're talking with Jory Epstein from Yahoo Sports. Okay, so Jory, we know one of the things that went viral, it was intended to be a discussion about Dak or what Matt Harmon was highlighting about Dak, but it was the quote you had from an anonymous coach about Micah Parsons and how in big games, you know, they felt like he maybe doesn't show up the way that he needs to. And I think there's been a big expectation for Micah that you know, hasn't always been achieved in some of those big moments. I do think that that's overall a fair criticism, but how do you think the Cowboys are approaching his contract? Do you think they have some of those same questions? Do you think that they look at it and say, well, look, we're not going to get such a big jump on this when he's still got 2 years essentially left on his deal? Or do they have any questions, do you think, about his future here?
Yeah, I think you have to ask, when you say Cowboys, do you mean Jerry Jones or do you mean other people in the building? I think Jerry feels very passionately that he wants Micah here forever. And I think there are probably some people who feel as passionately about him, or maybe not as passionate, it's hard to be as passionate as Jerry, but who feel similarly passionate, and others who are like, well, it's great on a rookie deal, but what are we getting from him on the next deal? Now, he's still an elite player. I do think he has elite ability. And I think part of this is like, is Zim going to be able to coach him to a place where he can start doing that? And what is interesting to me about what that coach told me at Combine, and it's funny that went viral this week, because it was actually from a couple weeks ago, the interview,
yeah,
is that I was just trying to understand, like, if I'm going to bash Micah for it, well, what about Chris Jones, the Kansas City Chiefs defensive tackle, who also, by most people who are smarter than me, take some plays off in the game, and that's why the coach had made the difference. Like, but when you need Chris Jones the most, when you need him in the Super Bowl, when you need him in the fourth quarter, that's when he's wrecking games. And so it was more a comparison than just like a shot at Micah, and I like Micah, and I enjoyed covering him when I was in Dallas, of like, are you making the plays when they matter most? Now, the last thing I'll say is, you can make the point of like, well, is this tennis or is this football? Is one guy involved or is this 11 guys on the field, a coaching scheme, a game plan? Like, maybe someone else doesn't do their assignment. There are always more variables, but I do think that, like, when you look at those two players, Micah Parsons and Chris Jones, against one another, one of them has made plays when it matters most much more often.
Jory, where are they with Lamb's deal? What number do you see that coming in at if and when it gets done?
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem is I don't think it's getting done this offseason at this point. And so what's the receiver market going to be at next year? But Justin Jefferson going to get done? Like, again, it could get done. It could get done in training camp. Like, I don't have, like, inside sources being like, it won't get done. But I think if you wanted it done, the reason you want it done now is to open up that space to go get free agents, to go get other pieces for your team. And that is no longer an incentive that you're dealing with Stevie's contract. And so at that point, well, then why get it done in training camp? Like, what is the benefit then? You have the control on that. You don't have control on Dak because he's an expiring veteran contract and he has a no tag clause, but you do have control on CD.
Jory Epstein, she does a fantastic job for Yahoo Sports. All very proud of her here on the Cowboys beat. Everybody blowing up there. You got David Hellman leaving, yeah. Haley Sutton, Jory. They all bail on us after a while. You can follow her on Twitter at Jory Epstein. Jory, thanks so much. We appreciate it. And, you know, hook them.
Bobby, RJ, great to talk to y'all. Appreciate you.
Good to talk to you. Jory Epstein.
Is she a hook'em? Is she a Texas?
She is. She's Texas. UT.
Look at that. She actually went there.
She did go there. She's not the T-shirt
not
Texan.
Not the you would pay.
Yeah, that's the one that Broadus will actually take trash talk from, is if you go to the school. Because you've heard that from Brian, right? Brian caused a firestorm when he told people the other day. He's like, I'll take trash talk from people if they went to the school. If you paid money, I'll take trash talk. But if you just cheer for the team and they beat my LSU Tigers, I'm not going to stand for it.
What if you got a scholarship?
That's fine too. Yeah, I mean that's the same sort of thing, I guess.
Either way,
pay
you money.
Went to the school, but you
didn't
went
pay
to the
money.
School.
You didn't pay money.
You went to the school. That's ultimately, I think, the thought process.
All right, let's do this here. Special guest time. Downstairs on the spot. Bonnie Jill is one of the hosts, and she's been asking,
crushing it.
She's been asking me. She goes, "Can we please get a few minutes so I could promote my book?" She's got a book out. You know, we don't do books here.
Yeah, I mean, you don't read.
I don't even read. Not front to back in that order.
Sure,
I'll read a chapter here and there.
You're definitely a back to front guy.
She has got a book out. She wanted to come promote it. You know, she's with Odyssey and the family, so we'll say hello. Hello, Bonnie Jill.
Hi, how are y'all?
Good. What is this book? Tell us about this book. What is this?
Well, it's called In a League of Her Own, and since I was the first female scout in the NBA, I wanted to talk about all the other trailblazers and women who are pioneers, who paved the way, and so I got the Billie Jean Kings and Danica Patricks and Layla Ali. Nancy Lieberman's in it, and then on the back I've got the great endorsements from Michael Irvin, Jerry Rice, Bruce Bochy. Yeah, a lot of great people that endorse the book and are in the book.
You know Boach, right?
Boach is like my dear friend. Yeah, so I'm excited about opening day, obviously.
So you weren't surprised that everybody connected like they did with Boach?
Oh,
last
no,
year.
Yeah. Boach is like the man. He's just one that, you know, first of all, he's, you know, not a huge, huge analytics guy, but he's still a guy that can, you know, he puts a little bit of lefty-righty, all that stuff. But he's definitely the guy that, like, you know, if you give him the reins, like CY did, he was able to, look, win a championship and, you know, one season. He knows what to do. He knows all the punches of the pole. He uses his brain. He's, you know, he doesn't. He knows, especially in the postseason.
Have you ever asked him in your conversations with him, have you ever asked him to just say real comfortable jeans? To hear
what
how
is
he,
that?
It's the old Wrangler. Real comfortable jeans. I just feel like
it's so funny. Yeah. He's got that Sam Elliott type of voice, right? He'd be great for voiceovers.
All right, so best part about doing this book, like what was the most cool thing that you came across?
The coolest thing? It was actually a drag. No, I'll be honest. It was so hard to write this book. But no, it was fun just being able to talk to all the women, you know, especially when you speak to, like, you know, you're on a Zoom call with some of these women that you know, Billie Jean King, it's kind of cool, right? You know, be able to talk to her and be able to speak to all these women. So it was nice to see that. And, you know, it's done really well. It's Amazon's right now, number one on new releases. So it's been doing well. It's nice to see that people are actually embracing it.
How many NBA title rings do you have?
Five.
What? Why aren't you wearing them? You should bring them up.
Do you wear them?
No, like, they're in a safe. I'll pull them out during the NBA finals.
I'd be so obnoxious. I would be so obnoxious. I'm obnoxious just when I, like, predict something right on, like, a Friday, and then we come back Monday and I'm right. Like, I flaunt that nonstop. So if I had, like, a ring, one, much less five, I would wear them.
And I had the big ones because they were like, do you want the female version? I'm like, no, I want the Shaquille Big Daddy ring.
So do the players, do you get the same ring as the players?
That's
or the
what
scouts,
I just said.
Or scouts' rings different?
Like, no, I have the big, big ones. So it looks enormous on me because mine's is the same size as the players. And look at how little my fingers are.
you were
almost as small as Sean's.
Almost. You were a Cowboy cheerleader too.
I was, and I was also for the enemy too. Remember the 49ers?
That's right. So, did they give the cheerleaders?
Yeah.
So rings?
Eddie DeBartolo, who was the owner at the time, he gave the cheerleaders the Gold Rush, the 49ers. Uh-huh. We were the first cheerleaders to actually get a ring, a Super Bowl ring. So I have 5 NBA and 1 Super Bowl ring.
Which was the 49ers year? 94?
The last time they, 94-95.
Oh. They don't win anymore.
No, I didn't know if it was 89-90. I didn't know which one it was.
Oh, like,
I'm not that old, man.
I didn't know which year. I was just trying to figure. That's 4 years difference.
It's not that far. It's not that far. All right, so where can we find the book again? What's it called?
In a League of Our Own. Yep, and you can Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Target, local bookstore.
Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, RJ. Thanks, my friend.
Bonnie Jill down at the spot with a new book out, In a League of Her Own. All right, it is Crosstalk with KMC Mashmeath with Derek Holland.
Yes!
Coming up next on 105 through the Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 3-1. Swinging a high fly ball. Deep out into left field. Hayes going back. Mitch Garver, can you take me higher? You most definitely can. A grand slam for Mitch Garver to give Texas a 9-2 lead.
Oh, baby. I love it. That was the moment everybody believed at that point.
We're in trouble today, RJ.
Why?
Because Derek Holland is in studio with us all show. Welcome back.
Hey, buddy.
Is he going to play the role of John Smoltz today?
No, he's going to play the role of Bobby because he is already firing off jokes that Bobby would just give him a big Chuck Norris style thumbs up to.
Hell yeah.
And that is a dark level of humor that I'm not sure the radio airwaves are prepared for.
Yeah, I'm here for it. I'm here for it, man. I hope you throw it all out there.
Everything. Oh, I will. I'll throw it all out there.
Oh, no.
Just everything. Just lay it on the table.
Lay it right there. Goodness.
If we had an entire commercial break accidentally broadcasted on the air, who's the first one gone?
You.
Me? Yeah.
It's definitely not me.
It's me or Mike.
I think Mike's on day going. Sharif is here. Yeah, he could be in the firing line as well.
Well, the rest of us would get, I think.
He's usually here.
Sean teases up. Sean gets it started.
Yeah,
he asks a question, and then everybody starts firing, and he's like, yes, excellent, let the hate flow.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, he would, I don't know that he says anything that would be cancelable from the people, but it would be fireable.
From the bosses.
From the bosses.
Yeah.
The people would love it.
The people would love it.
Be like, this is the stuff I want.
Amazing. This is great. Getting photos already of people out there tailgating the great Dave Swaby. Swaby just sent me all of his meat. All kinds of pics of his meat.
Well, what difference is that from any other day for you?
Well, it's true. This is sausage.
Okay.
Oh.
Thick.
Your favorite.
Is he out there with Brandon?
Juicy sausage.
Hurtado is out there, yeah.
I don't know that.
Hurtado said
he's
tailgating, was it for 18 different?
Yes.
18 different tailgates?
And he's going to be out there for hours and hours.
Yeah, he was showing up at 9 o'clock today.
And I think they're going to be like open doing stuff at noon.
Wow. What's coming up on the show? Are you going to talk Rangers today?
Yeah. If we do anything other than Rangers today, we've done it wrong. I have not looked at the run sheet one time.
That's not.
We have Gridiron Gravy at 11:40.
That's right.
Hagee's got his dookies coming up this weekend. He's going to have to talk about that at some point.
Jared Saylor is supposed to join us in the studio.
10:20-ish.
We do have Chuck Morgan, the great Chuck Morgan, hopping on with us at 12:40 today. And Cole Hamels will join us from 1 to right around the time we start talking to G-Bag. So we got a pretty stacked show today, man. Also, I don't know if y'all have noticed or not.
Your sticker's on your
hat?
This
is my kid's hat.
Oh. You got to keep the sticker on.
My kids won't let me remove the sticker.
The hologram sticker, I think you have to keep it on there.
Why?
We do have Derek Holland in studio for the entire show
today.
Sarah
tells me to.
I don't know why my kids won't let me keep it on or take them off. I think it's dumb. But they're like, no, you got to keep it forever. But this is my kid's hat. I'm waiting until I get the batting practice hat whenever I go out to the stadium with Mike.
Those are cool.
That's what I'm looking for.
Or Derek.
Or Derek. Yeah, maybe I can utilize the the player discount at some point.
Well, we'll wait until they invite me out.
Can I invite you out? Like, can I just invite you to a game?
Oh, no.
Would you sit up in the 300s with me?
I'd sit anywhere.
You only go. You only go when President Bush goes, or Mater.
Mater,
Larry the Cable.
Larry
guy.
The Cable Guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the same thing.
Wait, is that a Tow Mater? Is that a Cars joke?
Yeah.
Is that Tow Mater?
Yeah, it took me a second there. But yeah, you're right.
I like that.
Sorry,
I'm mad at you.
I like cool famous people.
Oh no, why?
I'm mad at Derek.
That's why you like me?
For what?
Bobby asked. He said this is the 15th different opening day pitcher in the last 16 years. Is that what you
said?
Yeah,
it's like 15 out of 16 or 14 out of 15. And there's only been one repeat starter.
And
it wasn't me.
And I said your name. And I'm mad that you were never – mad at you for not being the open – you should have
talked. I got one – well, I didn't get opening day. Never mind.
You got a home opener.
I got the home opener.
That's where I screwed up. I thought – I was like, man, I could have swore I saw Derek pitch on opening day.
I was on the field and he waved to me.
We were all sad for you.
I got hurt that day.
And he got hurt.
What year was that?
That was
15?
Yeah, that was later. Yeah. That might have been 14.
14?
Yeah, because it's been, what, since 2000 and...
Fourth pick overall, you guys got that one.
2009. It's been Kevin Millwood, Scott Feldman, CJ Wilson, Colby Lewis, Matt Harrison, Tanner Shepherds, Giovanni Gallardo, Cole Hamels, Yu Darvish, Cole Hamels again. So nobody back-to-back, but he got two. Mike Minor, Lance Lynn, Kyle Gibson, John Gray, Jacob deGrom, and then today Nathan Eovaldi.
Hey, maybe we'll get another Darvish-type treatment, the perfect game into the ninth, and then miss the ground ball.
Yeah, I would hate if that was the same thing.
Hopefully it wouldn't be that way.
That still makes me upset that that ball went through.
Well, I heard you guys talking about this, and I think it was you.
It was us, yeah.
Talking about having the opening day guy, if he has a perfect game, do you keep him in there? Yeah, I'm keeping him in. All you got to do is just go shorter rest the next time out, rather than worrying about his pitch count and all that stuff. It's a perfect game.
Extra day then? Just give him an extra day?
You could either do an extra day or you just don't throw him as much in the second start.
Okay, let's just say he throws 130 pitches. Oh, you would make him 70 the next time to even it out to 100?
He's probably
going to
be about, his pitch count will be 80 at the max.
If it's like Rich Harden, I remember the one year he was here, he had a no-hitter against the Twins like through six innings. I don't even think he got through six. But he was like
185.
He was like
pitches.
At 115 pitches through
that's
five
different.
Innings.
Yeah,
no, I think he walked like seven guys.
That's a different story. Then it becomes
Joe Mauer broke that one up.
The
in
community no hitter.
That was upsetting.
The because like you know there is a trend. We have seen this like Lorenzen last year, Kluber a couple years ago.
They fall apart.
They throw a no hitter and then like a start later they're hurt. They got like a shoulder injury.
I mean,
is that just because they're not managing their next start the right way?
Yeah, they might have let him go again. I don't know. I'd have to look more into it. But they might have let them go 100 pitches again. And that's a little taxing right out the gate. But that's what spring training is for, which we're going to talk about on the show anyway, is the whole purpose of spring training is preparing for the regular season.
When you're that deep into a game, do you stay with in 8-9 innings? You pitched plenty of complete games in your career.
Sure have.
I mean, should have pitched one more.
Yeah.
Big mistake, Wash.
They won the game.
It doesn't have a winning, Mike.
Are you?
It's not history.
Busy asking a damn question. All right, it is opening day right now. We have to focus, guys.
In the World Series, Mike. You should be focused on individual statistics.
What?
I'll ask you later.
No, go ahead, ask.
We've got time.
I'm done with this.
He can't breathe right now.
I'm so excited about today's game.
I
can hit home runs right now.
You think so?
I think
no.
so.
Yeah.
Pay for that.
Okay, I might not be able to see the ball.
Do you still have the pink eye?
I have. It's not the pink
He's
eye.
He's got pink eyes.
My eyes are pink. I'm not stoked.
Did you smoke before
I'm
the
not.
Show?
No.
Jeez, influenza? Wow.
That's what Adrienne asked this morning. She was like, do you have the flu? And I was like, I don't think so.
I don't think she would call it that, though, right?
The flu?
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Okay.
Is that what they call it now?
Are you going?
I think you're going?
Nope.
Is that?
Nope.
Is that a COVID joke?
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, it is definitely.
Hey, you.
You're taking shots at my wife on the radio.
I didn't.
100,000 watts.
I didn't see that one coming.
Of radio
opening
action?
Day is getting wild.
Baby.
That's it, man. I'm out of here.
All right, so
you would not leave.
I'm so excited about this show.
Yeah, I know.
I can't wait.
So giddy.
Can't wait. I'm so
giddy.
Dude, we get to start defending a title today.
Hell yeah.
Nobody else gets to do that today.
Yeah, it must
not
be
anybody
nice.
Else.
I do wonder, like,
dude,
is
you're
it,
part of it, Derek. You're part nice. Of the Rangers fabric.
Defending a title.
Defending a title.
Never got to do that.
Wow.
Okay.
I do wonder, like, what the difference is with, like, chasing and defending one, like, in terms of, like, just the year.
Because
you're being hunted now.
Yeah, but it's more of the mindset. Like, you still treat it as if you're going to get it again. That's cool. You won one. Now it's, you know, I'm going to give the example of the Chiefs. They're talking about how they want a three-peat. Well, Rangers definitely want a two-peat.
Repeat.
I know.
Repeat. A repeat.
They peated.
They peated, and they got a repeat.
They
got a peat and repeat.
Two-peat sounds cooler.
Does it?
No.
No?
I think it
repeat sounds awesome. No. Is this what you're bringing to the show today, Derek?
Pure electric. Pure gold as always.
Man, you sound like you're very in a very sarcastic mood today. I kind of like this.
Well, we're going to have a lot of fun with it today.
Y'all are going to get in trouble.
Or the fill-in giveaway, right?
Y'all are going to get in trouble.
Let's give something away, guys.
I think y'all should do a segment today called Let's Read Derek's Text Messages to Us Over the Last Several Months. Just pick random text, Derek.
As long as you say text.
Absolutely not. I know where you're trying to go with that.
Let's not read his Instagram.
Yeah, as long as it's text and not social media, I'm good.
All the texts that I got are like, I miss you, buddy. I love you.
Miss you, buddy.
Just a lot of love. Those are good texts.
Yeah,
there's some quality memes in there.
I already know where you want to go, so no.
Oh, you know where I want to go.
There's like 8 names in a row that just say smash question.
All right, who's going? Who's going tonight? Who's going tonight?
Not me. I'll be at home. I'm going to be streaming it.
I bet Mike's
going to
be there.
I'm going to stream and hang out with the fans.
You'll be there, Hagee?
No.
Sorry. I'll be watching it with the family. We leveled our house.
You mean you leveled it like you tore it down?
What?
We're replacing all of our flooring right now.
I don't think you're using that word right.
Yeah,
are you using that word right?
Leveling is completely.
I think leveling means it's like leveling.
If I can't use two-peat, you can't use leveling.
It looks leveling.
Leveling is what they did to Derek's elbow. They just let it all the way down to the bottom, build it back up from scratch. That's what they did.
I didn't realize there's so much animosity built up in this configuration of people.
You know who will be at the Rangers game tonight, though, Chop?
Not you.
No, not me.
Chuck Morgan.
G-Bag Nation. They'll be
yes, they will.
They will.
They'll
yes,
be out
they
the
will.
Lucky.
Yes.
So when the parking lot's open at 2, you can go on there, harass them.
Can we send Broadus out to tailgate?
Hell yeah.
I would love that.
That'd be
I like
great.
The assumption that he will not be tailgating before.
Yeah. I know, but I at least want to throw it
Did
out
you
there.
Get, like, he was talking the other day, like when he had gone to the lake on Friday, he had had some cocktails with some buddies or whatever. And he was telling Eric on the air, he's like, yeah, you've like given me a tolerance again that I haven't had for alcohol.
Jugga cheated. Yeah.
So it was vodka and grape juice and ginger ale.
And he said
it's a golf course thing. He said it's awesome.
It's called a transfusion.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Cole drinks, though. So when we talk to Cole, we can ask
Derek
him about
was
it.
About to rail against that.
Okay. Man, this show's going to be great today.
That's too far.
Oh, no.
That's too far.
Oh, my God.
That's next.
Coming up next.
You should appreciate that. That was for you.
It was good. It was good. I love it. Masterpiece. Happy opening day, boys.
We're in trouble.
You guys, good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck. Maybe I'll see you tomorrow. I don't know. Opening day. G-Bag Nation at 2 o'clock out there at the Globe. Sandler with pregame at 6. KNC Masterpiece next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.